الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والتابعين والمؤمنين، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم ارزقنا علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء، ونعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعاء لا يستجاب له. آمين آمين يا رب العالمين. اللهم ألهمنا وسددنا، اللهم ألهمني رشدي وأعوذ بك من شر نفسي، اللهم افتح بيننا وبين قومنا بالحق وأنت خير الفاتحين، اللهم اكرمنا وأنت أكرم الأكرمين، اللهم ارزقنا البركة والنور والقبول فيما نفعل وفيما نقول، وارزقنا يا ربي حقيقة لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والعمل بها والموت عليها، وأنت راض عنا وتقبل منا يا رب العالمين، وأعزنا بالإسلام وأعز الإسلام بنا، واشرح صدورنا لما تحبه وترضاه يا رب العالمين، واجعلنا هداة مهديين غير ضالين أو مضلين أو فاتنين أو مفتونين أو مبدلين أو مبتدعين برحمتك وفضلك وجودك يا رب العالمين. أما بعد، before I came in here, one sister asked me a question, and this question I decided to share it with you because it's so important. It's unique, it's basic, we heard it many times, but I believe if you do not have it, you will never survive in this journey. Never. What is it? One of the pillar of Iman, the belief of Qadr, destiny, right? One of the article of faith. Now, this young lady, she asked me a question, and she's a new Muslim. She tell me, when I hear you talking about Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, the way he died, according to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the throne of Allah is shaked for Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. And she tell me, when the companion came from Medina to give bay'ah to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam before immigration, you said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shaked their heart. عَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. He know what they have in their heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He descended His hand and put it above their hand and blessed their bay'ah. She said, if everything is written and Allah know everything, why He do this? Why He let us know about it? You see, if the whole journey of Rasulullah SAW was already planned by Allah, Why he created all the situation? We said, everything is created by Allah. And all the situation is known by Allah. And Allah, in ultimate knowledge, He knew all this before even started. Now the question should be now, why Allah allow me to know? Why Allah share His knowledge with me? Because this knowledge, for some people, is a confusion. For some people is belief. For some people is a fitna and take them out of Islam. Huh? By this way, if Allah guide you and written you above the gifted one, this knowledge should what? Unite your heart to Allah. Because this knowledge, actually the knowledge of Qadr, should develop what? Iman and yaqeen. Trust. What happened to my envy, my jealousy, my upsetness? What happened to my worry? What happened to my future? What happened to what I have, what I do not have? It's relevant, it's nothing. Why? Allah is my Rabb. He knows what is good for me. What about the way I look? What about the way I behave? What about how much I have? What about what I do not have? It's not a big deal. Because whatever given is a gift from Allah to check me out. Whatever is not giving is a gift from Allah to check me out. And the whole knowledge of Qadr is only for one reason, to unite my heart to Allah. By this way, I study this topic so thoroughly and I reach a conclusion. The whole benefit of this is to know one only piece of knowledge. If Allah is the owner of all this, who should be the most important part of my life? Allah. Because He is the one, He can make it easy for me. What it means? Because life will never be the same in your life. Never. If you think you go to life the way you like all the time, you're sick. You're young, you're old. You have beauty, no beauty. You have power, no power. You have money, no money. You have health, no health. You're living, you die. Nothing. Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah, he said, nobody. And Imam Muzari too, he said, nobody will leave this earth without a trial. Believer or disbeliever, everybody have to be tried. What's the difference between each one of us? How much we can handle it. According to what? Our iman. Let me give you a piece of knowledge. And even your iman is already giving to you. Your iman is already gifted from Allah to you. Allah chose you. What about our action? If you study this topic thoroughly, they said all your action just to be a witness against you or toward you. By this way, if all this knowledge, what it should do to me? Should do to me only one issue. Only one. What is the issue? Eh? To unite my heart to Allah and believe whatever happened is the best for me. And like my father, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, my son, do you know this life all about? I said, no. He said, about one word. I said, what is that? He said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. To always to check you out in a state of hamd. That's it. Allah give, Alhamdulillah. Allah take, Alhamdulillah. I'm sick, Alhamdulillah. Allah cure me, Alhamdulillah. I have, Alhamdulillah. I do not have, Alhamdulillah. My husband is gone, Alhamdulillah. He's dead, Alhamdulillah. My wife left, Alhamdulillah. She married, it doesn't matter. Because I'm not here for to be distracted with all this. I'm here only for one, for my relationship with him. And nobody in Quran or Hadith said everything has to be all the way I like. This is another thing. Once we have a child, oh, I like him to be this way. You can wish, yes. You can hope, yes. Do you know what I look at today? No family without a Nazi. Meaning every family has to have one or two people really get a pain. A pain to the whole family. Masha'Allah. Why? Huh? To check you out. How you can be good without bad? You see? You get it? Very important. Now, if I'm really belong to Allah, where's my envy? It's gone. Where's my jealousy? It's gone. Where's my fear? It's gone. Where is the not content? For example, I was telling the same sister. I tell her, look at the any majority of women together. Once one of them move, the another woman will look. Why you look at each other? Because you're not content. Because if you're content, you will never. Another girl yesterday, she asked me a question. She said, what about if I'm in this place? Can I tell people who am I? I said, why? Once you talk about your personal life, wonder what happened. Why I ask you who you are? How old are you? Who you belong to? You marry or not? All this question, what's the wisdom? How much you weigh? Where you buy it from? We are empty. We are so empty, we are so sick. You see? Because if I'm really belong to Allah, this is not the issue. We have a lot of work to do. And once you share your personal life or person, whatever, with anybody, I promise you, the person who asks you this question is the first one will backbite you and use it against you. And who's the criminal? Not the girl, not the woman. It's you, the one you open your mouth and share. The more you share, the more you're asking for trouble. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he's walking one time. When somebody asked him, Ya Ali, how old are you? He said, why? He said, I'm just curious, I want to know. He said, listen, if I give you my age, either you look at me and you envy me, and you tell me you look younger. Or you look at me and you make me miserable and tell me you look too old. He said, we are the companion of Rasulullah sallam. We never talk about this issue. We have no time for that. We have something more important than that. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Do you see? If you're really, really busy with your journey, really with your duty and job, what this will do? If I'm filling application of a government or whatever, it's different. But when we go to a wedding, when we go to any personal meeting, what we ask a question? The companion said, how is your iman today? How is your good deed today? What is your weight has to do with me? Or your size? Or your clothing? Oh, I like your jewelry. Where do you get it from? Can I see it? You see? Either we sit down talking about jewelry, or clothing, or food, or nonsense. Why? We empty. But why you allow it? Because you are empty too. You are sick like the listener, the talker. Because if you are really a good person, well, excuse me, either you want to talk about Allah or I do not want to talk. Finished. Or tell her with respect of you is not of your business. Tell her Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Min husn Islam al-mar tarkuhu ma la yu'ni." From the best manner of a Muslim, leave what is not belong to you. You see? This basic, but do we have it? Do we stay steadfast for it? And when men meet each other, what do you do? How long you been here? What you do? How much you make? Do you have a permit? Do you have a car? How much? Where you buy it from? Allahu Akbar. You see? What is left? Did you take a shower? What soap you take? You know, really, we are so empty. There's a point, this tiny thing, which is not really important, it becomes a real core in our life. If somebody trick you and trap you in all this question, you are sick, not the person. Don't blame the person, blame yourself.
Whenever I meet another Bengali person, they ask me how long I've been in this country, they ask me where my land and back in Bangladesh is, they ask me where my dad is working, what he's doing, what my mom is doing, where I'm going to school, what degree I have. They give this whole string of questions. And from Bengali to Bengali, the string is always the same. And I don't like answering these questions. They feel, it's like for no reason. Can I just stop? That's the better thing to do as a Muslim?
Sure. Not a stop. What are you talking about? What's the benefit? What is your goal? You see, you have to, you know, we're not a thinker. We're not a thinker at all. We're not even a follower. We are dumb. Because if everybody, take me, if I do this to a cat, will not come. If I do this to a dog, until I have a lot of meat in my hand, he will not come. And even he can't come, take the meat and go run away. And he will never be loyal to me. But we're doing worse than a dog. And after that, we complain about the people. Don't ever complain about anybody. You're the one. You're the one. You're spreading the mischief against you by you. Because you're the one you give it. Take it from me. Don't ever talk, even to your own relative, about any detail. Any question, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. No, even your own mom, even your own father. Because once you get married, you finished, you belong to your husband, not father and mother. Any detail you go to give it to them, they will fight you with the same knowledge. Your mom can tell you, oh, tell me. And once you tell her, look at your daughter. You see what she did last night? And the whole problem starts. And who generated the mother? Why? Because the daughter. You see? And all of a sudden, the auntie knows, the uncle knows, and the whole, it's a mess. And how to start? By a small conversation. Don't. I'm 25 years in here, nobody knows anything about my life. Who are you? Alhamdulillah. What are you doing? Alhamdulillah. How is your health? Alhamdulillah. Do you know if I said I have a flu? Oh, what do you take? Did you take lemon? Did you take aspirin? And they would call again. And another phone call coming from a different country. Why you take the aspirin? No, don't take the aspirin. Take the... Why? Because we're so empty. We worry about Tylenol, we worry about aspirin, we worry about my nose, and we're not worried about the Ummah. Really? By this way, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he decorated us by saying, "Man kana yu'min billahi wal yawm al-akhir." If you are believing Allah and the hereafter, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Say goodness or be quiet. What it means, say goodness or be quiet? What you say? The early people said, what is khair? They said, either ذِكْرٌ لِلَّهِ, remember Allah, or أَمْرٌ بِمَعْرُوفِ أَوْ نَهِنْ عَنْمُكْ. Or command what is good, or prevent what is evil. Finished. You understand? By this way, we have to have wisdom. We have to be a thinker. What am I going to say? For whom benefit? And if I'm going to listen to whom? And what benefit? Why? Because all the in and out will program my heart. Will program my heart and will affect on my heart. Okay, inshallah? Okay, Amberina, you did your job? Completely. The whole book. From A to Z. How many times? MashaAllah. You say the truth. Allah iftah alayk. Allah iftah alayk. Allah iftah alayk. Allahumma taqabbalha qabulan hasanan ya rabbal alameen. Wa barik fiha ya rabbal alameen. Wa iftah alayha fathan mubinan ya rabbal alameen. Hiya urthalaha ya rabbal alameen. Okay. What you gain? Figure out the question. What you gain first?
I gain knowledge about jinns and
why Satan was created, and they answer a lot of questions, and then I add about the wisdom behind his creation, and why things that I normally see as bad, in fact, they're helpful. Now you see the power of knowledge? All the misconception, all the fear, all the worry, everything, what happened to it? It's gone. Now let me ask you a question now. Is Imbrina now more strong or more weak? Eh?
I hope I'm more strong.
No. I do not like this voice. Eh?
More strong.
Ah, that's it. This is what I like. More strong. More happy and content and or no?
Yes.
MashaAllah. Let me tell you. Do you know your happiness in this life and hereafter? In a depth of happiness in your heart. If your heart is happy and content with Allah, I promise you, you will see wonder beyond your imagination. You will be crying from joy of what Allah will give you. I was reading yesterday to one person, a say unbelievable, very powerful. Ya Allah, the say of the meaning of whoever divorced dunya and unite his heart to Allah, Allah will alter with wisdom in his tongue. Meaning Allah will fill his heart and tongue with wisdom. But you have to be belong to whom? And not belong to what? That's it. You can go to any class, you can go to whatever. The moment you divorce dunya and you become belong to Allah, this is the beginning of your wisdom. Because the highest wisdom in earth, for what?
Allah.
To leave dunya and go to akhirah. And once you listen to Allah, which is his ultimate wisdom to us, now he tell you, okay, you're listening to me, let me feed you now. Yeah, you want Allah to feed you?
Yes.
You want Allah to give you wisdom?
Yes.
You want to be a wise?
Yes.
Or you want to be a fool? Your wisdom according to how much you lose dunya. You lose dunya, you let it go, you spit over it, and you go toward Allah, Allah opened for you. Okay? Go ahead.
On page 83, there's a hadith. And it was speaking of, about how Satan, everybody except Isa alayhi salam, was saved from the touch of Satan at the time of his birth. And there was another one that said,
mm-hmm.
Umar ibn Yasir was also protected by Allah from Satan. In Sahih al-Bukhari, it is recorded that Abu al-Darda said, "Is there among you the one that was protected from Satan according to what the Prophet said?" Al-Mughira said, "The one person who was protected from Satan according to the tongue of his Prophet means Umar." And I want to know who that was.
Who? It's a young man. Your age or young. His name Umar ibn Yasir. Now, go back to Qadr. Why he was protected? And this is what we do not understand. Do you think he come and send Allah a letter? And there was a man said, "Allah, I want you to be protecting me." Because the protection came in the time of his delivery. By this way, when a baby get born, and the baby cry, what they say? There's a kick of shaitan. Is a kick of shaitan. And everybody get a kick except a few. One among them is Isa alayhi salam. Okay? And the another one Rasulullah said, who? Ammar ibn Yasir. Okay? Now, the same girl can ask me a question, why? Allah knew already. We go back to Quran, to Surah Al-Qasas, verse 68. And when Allah said, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَعُ. Allah create whom He wants, and He choose whom He wants. Because the bottom line, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to surrender to Him. Who am I? Allah create me. How I look like? Allah create me. Okay? By this way, everything about me is the best for me according to what Allah ordained for me. Why? It's His business. Why? Because if I'm thinking this way and I'm thanking Allah for it, I reach the ultimate thinking or the ultimate thanking of Allah, which I'm thanking Allah for what He did. And now I reach the upper higher level of closeness to Allah, to be in a state of thanks to Allah. But we do not understand that. And this is why you find a verse in Quran repeated over and over again. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسَ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. The majority of people do not thank me. Yeah. You understand now? Is the whole thing is protection from Allah. Why a one person's soul is weak? Why is another one person's soul strong? Why somebody is so pious? Why somebody is so sinner? You see? Why you've been guided and you try to give the same information to your sister will not listen? The same knowledge is authentic. One person, his heart is open. Another one, his heart is not open. One person, the heart is open 100%. The another one, open only 10%. Do you know why? For Allah to make you cry and thank Allah. I choose you. I open your heart. Okay, what happened? I look in the mirror, I'm not so pretty. But Allah give me guidance. Which one is high? But I'm not so healthy. Alhamdulillah. But I do not have money. Alhamdulillah. I have no Lexus, Alhamdulillah. I do not have this, Alhamdulillah. By this way, this now a reality of Iman. If I look at myself, I am missing a lot. But Allah give me Iman. Allah choose me. Allah enable me to realize who He is. Allah enable me to go in the deep ocean of His knowledge and belonging. What else He want? What else I want? This is the highest. By this way, if I'm belong to Allah, if I belong to Jannah, inshaAllah, what else it bother me? Tell me, what else bother me? By this way, anything can lead me to pleasure of Allah, I'm happy. Anything can make me away from Allah, I'm sad. And this is the main purpose of everything. And this by itself is a guidance from Allah. And this to make it easy for you, but don't dig anymore. Because Allah is the ultimate knowledge. He knows which soul will listen. Which soul will be humble. Is it choosing again? Now, if I believe Allah choosing me and help me. What is it? I thank Allah. Now somebody as a non-Muslim or atheist, he can tell you, see? He chose you, and then He didn't choose me. I said, okay, be humble, and unite your heart to Allah and try to ask Him for guidance, He will ask. He said, no, He will not guide. Why? Because you are arrogant. He said, even my arrogance is a creation by Him. You see? People who are arrogant, thank Allah you do not have some. And if you have some, ask Allah to erase it from your heart. You see? Because the whole thing is what? Again, humble to Allah. Because we are a creation, we're not a creator. Okay? You happy or no? You content or no? You really happy or no?
Yes.
You content or no? That's it. If you have that, you have the ultimate. Okay, go ahead, next.
On page 102, there's a hadith. When one of you rises from his sleep, he should make ablution. He should rinse his nose 3 times, for Satan stays in the upper part of one's nose during the night.
Okay, say it again slowly.
When one of you rises from your sleep, he should make ablution. He should rinse his nose 3 times, for Satan stays in the upper part of one's nose during the night.
Okay.
And I want to know if that's literal or figurative.
No. MashaAllah. She said, is this just a talk? Is this a figure of a speech or the truth? It's a truth.
Yeah.
It's a truth. This is why even some of the people, when you sniff water in a time of wudu, it should reach this area and it hurt a little bit. Okay? And you really blow it. Okay, go ahead.
Why does he stay there?
Why he stay there? Because according to our knowledge, Satan go from your nose inside and from your mouth. Okay? Why these places? Okay?
Say
it again.
Every time I do it, I get tears in my
eyes. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Now, but you see, don't do it until you bleed. I have one person who tell me, every time I do it, I bleed. Because some do it too much, some do it not too much. Believe me, may Allah forgive me. Right now, I'm not doing it too much, because sometimes I have sinus, and sometimes it's so blocked. Okay? But is blocking now is from shaitan? I do not know. May Allah save me if it is. But it is, according to me, it is sinus. But it is sinus or shaitan, Allah knows. But you try to do your best.
Okay, page 69. It talks about the creation of Adam, Islam. And it says that one must go back to the day that Allah formed Adam before he breathed his spirit into him. Satan went around him and said, Adam, if you are given mastery over me, I will surely disobey you. And if I'm given mastery over you, I will destroy you. So does that mean that Satan hated him from the moment of creation?
Yeah. You see what she said? Allah created Adam as a statue, and he let it sit. The Satan, the devil, Iblis, he used to surround him and talk to him before even he'd been created, just as a statue. And he used to say, if you become master over me, what I will do? I will disobey you. And if I become master over you, I will destroy you. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran, He said it many, many times. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوًا فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Shaitan is your enemy. Make him your enemy. You see? Like one scholar when I was young, he said, today we talk about everybody, but we're not talking about our main enemy. We're not talking about our main enemy. And if we forget, and if we go to sleep from our own enemy, what happened? He do not forget. And how you really attack your enemy? The ultimate knowledge of you attacking your enemy is to gain knowledge, the knowledge of Allah. The one containing all the ammunition and all the power against him. and purify your heart the maximum you can. By this way, when he come inside, he will not find it so dirt. Like one scholar, he said, Shaitan do not really do too much to you unless you are dirty. If you belong to Allah, he can attack you in a short time, in a small things, but he cannot attack you big time. Mm-hmm. You understand?
In one part, I can't find the page. It said that Satan does not sleep.
Satan do not sleep? Yes. He doesn't sleep.
Doesn't he feel tired?
Shayateen is not like us. We are a different creature. Okay? What about shark in the deep ocean? If you study shark, they find out shark do not go to sleep. Imagine. You see, sometimes, why Allah allow us to know this? What did it do to us?
Isn't that to be aware at all times?
No. Something so beautiful. Huh? Exactly. And how limited we are. How weak we are. This fish in the ocean do not go to sleep. But you have to. If I put you 2-3 days without sleep, you will go berserk. You will lose. Some people, even the nerve system will broken. So bad. And this is one of the new method of torture in a new 21st century. They call it sleep. What is it?
Deprivation.
What meaning? To deprive you from your own sleep. Look at the child, what do you do? If you wake him up. How many people, when you wake them up, they will be ready to smack you. Leave me alone. I want to go to sleep. Where's the love? No love at this time. Where's the devotion? No devotion. Because the ultimate love now to sleep to the pillow. I do not marry you. I marry the pillow. Come on, get away. This is how human being is really weak. Now the shark, they try to study the shark and they try to figure out why the shark can handle it. How can be staying like that? Non-stop. Because you find out anything move, it needs rest. To gain energy. How he gained the energy all the time? They find out his nerve system is different. His nerve system is different. Who generated that? Who gave him this ability? What about you? You will find out, all of us, a person can stay up extra hour. A person, once he stay up, his eyes get red, he start tearing, he get, you know, abnormal. Some people cannot take it. They become very, very aggressive. And they become very bad and nasty. If you let them sit beyond the sleeping hour. You see? By this way, what is the wisdom? When we watch all this, what is the wisdom? The wisdom of everything to Allah remind you. Who is the maker? And how weak we are. And how much in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this, it reminds me by a story. One man, very pious man, he went to Mecca in the early days. He found another imam sitting in the front of the Kaaba doing zikr. One day, 2 days, he go, come back. He find the same man sitting for 3 days consecutive. 3 days consecutive, he didn't move from the front of the Kaaba. He said, "Oh, imam, I saw you. You did not break your wudu?" He said, "No." He said, "You're not tired?" He said, "No." He said, "Did you go to sleep?" He said, "No." He said, "How you do it?" He said, "I look at Allah once and I remember him once. He remember me all the time. And when he remember me, he fill my body with the energy I need." And this wise, he said, if you want energy, if you want power, you go to whom? The power station. The owner of power, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this why the more you develop zikr and unity between you and Allah, you find out all your weakness about sleeping, eating, habit, it will decrease or get killed. Why today we do not really go and reach? Because we never start really honest start. You see, we're not doing it. We're listening, but we're not struggling. You have to struggle. You have to try. You have, for example, you have to try to sacrifice more hour of reading. You have to sacrifice more hour of doing zikr. You have to sacrifice more hour of decreasing your sleep. The way you do that, you can handle it. And otherwise, you cannot handle it. Right? So how limited we are, how powerful Allah is. And how Allah can put power in the whom He wants, in the time He wants, the way He wants.
Believers' houses, but is that the only place?
No, there are many places. Muslim jinn, they go to masajid, they have halaqat, they looking for any halaqa, they can be present in here now. Because according to the knowledge of Islam, Muslim jinn learn from Muslim human being. But Muslim human being do not teach Muslim jinn. I'm sorry. Muslim human being teaching Muslim jinn. But Muslim jinn do not teach human being. We cannot go and say, excuse me, I'm going to a jinn halaqa. But jinn go to our halaqa. Okay? I like your question, I'm afraid. Go ahead.
Can jinn read our thoughts?
Can, mashallah, that's a good question. Can jinn read your thought? Eh? Yes. But they cannot read what you have in your heart. It's between you and Allah. And this why they said, ikhlas is what is the debt between you and Allah, nobody knows except Him. No shayateen can destroy it, and no angel even can know it. Only Allah knows the deep down of your heart. And this why the more you cleanse your heart, it's so powerful, so hard. How many of you have ever finished this book? Wait, I have to give her priority until she finishes. She has her homework.
Can a believer with Iman ask Allah to make his jinn a believer?
Can a believer with Iman ask Allah to make his jinn a believer? This happened only to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and already done. Can it happen to me? According to our belief, okay, as an Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is this only can Allah can make it for you. But Allah, if Allah wants to make you a jinn Muslim, it's up to Allah, it's not up to me. Imagine if we are Amberina, we do not care about making other non-Muslim a Muslim. We worry about our jinn to be a Muslim. It's a good question. Go ahead.
Can the
jinn whisper to the angel? No. Because the angel is ma'soom. Angel have no feeling or temptation. They cannot be tempted. They created to obey Allah. And if they created to obey Allah, you know, you never heard about shaitan go take an angel and take him to downtown or something. No. No way.
Atlantic City?
No. Is Adam and Eve have jinn accompanying them in earth? The only thing we know, they already have the company of Iblis, la'natullah alayhi. And his jinn.
advises or whispers to us the same way that Jesus?
MashaAllah. Can angel advise us the same like the devil do? Sure, and this by the blessing of Allah. This is why when you read the hadith I tell you about, Allahumma alhimni rujdi. O Allah, inspire my rujd, inspire my wisdom, inspire my thinking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can inspire you direct, Allah can inspire you by angel, Allah can inspire you in everywhere possible He can do. And Allah's ability is untouchable. Don't forget also something we do not understand. Do you know who we are? We are a representative of Allah on earth as a human being. All of us, even the non-Muslim. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He said, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ, we elevate mankind. Now this elevation, the elevation of, they said, of the message. The elevation of guidance. By this way, any one of us, according to how much guidance we have more elevation. Now what this elevation will do? This elevation will give me either a blessing soul or a devil soul. A soul has piety and blessing, or a soul has shayateen. And this is why I said to people many, many times, in a time of marriage, ask yourself who I marry. I marry a man full of shayateen, or I marry a man full of angels. According to your piety and closeness to Allah, and how much you really have iman, this is who you are. By this way, you will be a human being, a company, most of the time of angel, or most of the time of shayateen. I heard it from many people. I heard it from two people in my life, and I believed them. One woman came to me in India and told me, I have to tell you something in private. I said, what is it? She took me and started crying. I said, what happened? She said, my husband. I said, what happened to him? She said, he's shaitan. This is what she said, he's shaitan. He told me every time I look at him, every time he comes near me, I remember shaitan. And the same sentence, I receive it from a woman all the way in South Latin America. And I believe her. Because when I went to her house, and the person opened the door, the moment I saw him, I said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I never see him in my life. But what came in my heart, he's Iblis. He's not even any shaitan, he's a big one. And believe me, once I enter the house, I know what my feeling was right. Once I enter the house is dark. And picture all over the rooms. And all the pictures, a picture of people with eyes. And a unique eyes. And between one room and another is a bell. Always bells all over. Why are you doing bells in a room? You see? Why a picture of this weird eyes all over? And a statue all over? And believe me, if you are a believer, inshallah, you can sense. With some basic knowledge, you can sense. And this woman was the opposite, and his wife. When I saw her, I think about angels. Wallahi, when I look at her, I feel like I'm sitting with angel. Do you know why? This woman full of contentment, and she's so sick. She's so sick. She has a unique disease. And this disease is a disease, over 400 million or 4,000 million in earth. Only 9 people in the whole earth have. And what is a disease? A disease, once it starts, it attacks the nervous system. And now you have a burning sensation in your nervous system. You have pain inside your nervous system. Do you know what it means? She will go extreme pain. They have to give her a lot of heroin and a lot of heavy tranquilizer. But wonder what happens, they cannot give her for a long time. Because if you study that, it takes the bone away. It can kill you. Heroin can kill you. But that's why you give her a dose of heroin and stop. Wonder what happened. She have to be hospitalized in a special bed with special, everything is rubber. And they tied her to the bed. Tied her teeth. They put a rubber things in her tongue and her mouth. And otherwise she can bite her tongue and cut it. And in the house, you have wheels and rails. Because she never know when the disease will attack. And she has to be under supervision 24 hours. And you know when she came to me, she's smiling. I tell her, I have knowledge about her before I came. And when I ask her, why are you smiling this smile? She said, I'm so happy. I said to her, why are you happy? She said, the Creator gave me something so beautiful. I said, what is it? She said, the Creator gave me a disease, make me remember him all the time. She said, my pain enabled me to remember he is the one. And I love him because he make me remember him all the time. And people do not understand. This woman, she was a Muslim for 12 years. And wonder what happened. She never read Quran. She never even know how to pray. She just embraced Islam, but she doesn't know. And she heard about me in the area. She said, please bring him to me. And please, if he can give me a Quran. And when I went with the Quran, you know what she did? Is this for me? And she took the Quran in her hand, and she took it to her chest, and she said, I know the Creator will do it for me. I always tell him, before I die, I won't read your book. I won't read your message. And she took it like a baby, and she said, it's mine. This mine, finally, is mine. At this day, I went to give her a message, and she told me, talk to me. I said, no, you talk to me. You give me the message. You already have it, because I believe in Allah. I met people in the middle of Wonderland, in the middle of nowhere, and when they talk, I can hear verses of Quran. A verses of Quran in their tongue and in their heart. Who educated them? Who gives them this deep understanding? Who make her so content and happy? Who give her this unbelievable smile? She's 52 years old, but believe me, if you see her, is almost 18. Do you know why? With all this disease, when people belong to Allah, you find light. Light and happiness. The face is so beautiful, so calm, so tranquility, full of light, full of contentment, full of happiness. And this woman is maybe one of the only people on earth she should be miserable. 9 months every year is sick. All her life. She cannot travel. She cannot do anything. She cannot even go to the bathroom alone. She cannot sleep alone. But otherwise the seizure will come and she falls down. Imagine. And she's happy. When I went to this woman, I said, who am I? I wish I take this woman, I travel all over, and I'm with her, and show people what kind of a person she is. I went to another woman, in the top of the mountain. Her husband's supposed to be a Muslim, and she was a Christian. And he complaining, and nothing in their house. And when I asked him, do you believe in the Creator? She have eyeglasses. She start crying. I just said the sentence. Do you believe in the Creator? She start crying. And she take her eyeglasses down. And she's very upset with me. She tell me, how dare you tell me this question? Do you not see my life? He bounting me with all this bounty and I cannot think about the Creator? Look where we live. Look to my family. Look how much he give me. Whatever I need, he give me. How I cannot thank him? And this woman, you know, cannot have even some tea. No tea and sugar in her house. She worked for a week to get them the first meal in the whole week. Of some vegetables. This is the only thing they can afford. And she had unbelievable contentment. And the man sitting smoking, complaining. You know what she told me? She told me, please don't talk to me. I know the Creator. Talk to my husband. And he's supposed to be a Muslim. She's a Christian. Wallahi, 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 three wallahi. I give her da'wah. And she embraces Islam. And she tell me, please, I want Quran. 9 months later, I go. And she's in a remote village, meaning no phone, no communication. And she's not home. I'm sitting in the room, in the living room. And she came. And I was shocked. Very shocked. She met me with a very rude way. She didn't meet me with any warmness. I tell her why. She said, I call him. I said, call him whom? She said, I call the Creator. I call Allah. I said, I want Quran. I want your book. And I said, why you meet me this way? She said, because already I get the message. I know you are here. I know Quran is coming to me. I said, who tell you? She said, he tell me. But it take you too long. I tell him, please don't make him die until he bring me Quran. Because he promised. Imagine these people. If I take you to her house, you might run away. If you take a dog from here and let him live in this house, he will never live. It's so dusty. It has nothing. In the top of a hill, the whole area full of dogs. And when you look at the dogs, even dogs, it's so dirty, it's so muddy. Like they never had a shower for years. But she's happy. She's content. She said, the Creator always good to me. He always give me what I want and more. How I cannot believe him? Believe me again, this woman, every time I used to talk to her, I wish if all of us, or even our sheikh, listened to her. She will talk about Iman and Yaqeen. She talk about Allah. It's almost like quoting from Quran, and she never touched it. Who educated her? Who showered her heart? And all these people, I found they have one thing in common. All of them is content. All of them is happy. All of them looking to the bounty of Allah over them. None of them under complaint. And believe me, all of them should be complaining. For example, when I look, the man sitting, doing nothing, bad manner, gambling, smoking, fighting, argue, unbelievable bad manner. And the woman, working, to care about the house, to care about everything, supporting him in everything, and she's not complaining. Who have the message? Tell me, who have the message? And who doesn't have the message? Do you see? Do we get the message? When I look at these people, I said, I wish I bring the whole ummah watching their life and thank Allah for what we have. Because what our problem is. We do not thank Allah. We do not thank Allah. Really, we do not. And it's a big problem. Subhanak ya Rabbi. I saw many people like that. Very beautiful people. Very beautiful people. Beautiful heart. Beautiful unity with Allah. Go ahead, Abraham. Now, when you hear all this knowledge, especially the one you read, tell me now, when you meet your family, your relative, how much they are in the darkness of the misunderstanding? How we can go to Allah when we really have a lot of shirk in our heart? This shirk. You have no respect, no trust, no thanks. If you ever think your life is not so good, go to any hospital. See how many people have a lot of tubes in and out. How many people the organ is completely cut? And ask yourself who you are. Some of your food you eat, 80% of human being cannot eat. Your spicy food, not anybody can handle. Really? Nobody can handle it. You will be sick in no time. And this is why today I believe without no doubt, we forget how to thank Allah. We forget how to really hold the bounty of Allah over us. And what is the highest bounty Allah give us? Iman, the right knowledge. Can I have it and just go to sleep? What about the people who are dying? Not dying from hunger, dying from the hunger of belief. Dying from the darkness of their own disbelief. Going to Jahannam. Living in Jahannam in earth. In the doubt and raiba and chakuk and worry. Iman is so beautiful. So beautiful. I promise you, the more you gain Iman, you become so happy. Even if you have nothing. Is this happiness now? If you are a good person, is not should be. At least share with others and make them happy like you. And this is what we forget as a ummah. We forget it as a ummah. Ya Allah. Now you understand also the importance of seeking knowledge. Is this not a very important knowledge? Is not a crucial knowledge for you? What do you think? MashaAllah. And believe me, this is just a tip or a tiny drop of the ocean. Yes, my dear.
The shaitan will change his way whenever he
wants. Now you're talking. You see? Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Shaitan cannot walk where he walk. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Allah give him something, never give it to any mankind. He's the only one. When Rasulullah SAW was talking about Munkar wa Nakir, the two angels in the grave, and how very scary they are. Umar ibn Khattab fall down. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, at this moment I will remember my name. I will know I'm Umar. He said, Ya Umar, you will remember your name, and you're the only one who will question the angels. And you will ask him who you are. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu is the one, if you mention his name in any gathering, shaitan has to leave. Imagine the elevation from Allah. If you mention his name in any gathering, is a promise from Allah, shaitan has to leave. Just to say, Ya Umar ibn Khattab, is not astaghfirullah, we're not calling Umar. Just if you talk about any story about Umar ibn Khattab, just mention his name, shaitan is out. Look at the powerful of this iman of the person. Now, let me lead you now to something else. What about Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu? Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he makes salah, his voice was very loud. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, why you loud, Ya Umar, in the time of Salah? He said, I like to get away wasawas of shaitan. I like to oppress and get away wasawas of shaitan. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when he prayed, nobody hear him. And when Rasulullah SAW was sick in the last few weeks before he died, wonder what happened. He commanded Aisha radiallahu anha to do what? To ask Abu Bakr to lead Salah. She said, Ya Rasulullah, Abu Bakr is regularly a thief. He cries a lot when he pray. Nobody can hear him. He said, listen, tell Abu Bakr to read Salah. And one time Abu Bakr was not leading Salah and Umar went to lead Salah. He said, who's leading Salah? They said, Umar. He said, did I tell you, let Abu Bakr lead Salah? By this way, the early people, they said, Abu Bakr Siddiq, when he pray, he's so shy to hear his voice because he's in the company of Allah. And Umar is fighting shaitan. Do you see now the two stages? They said one, he already reached the meeting with Allah and he's so shy to speak loud in the presence of Allah. Where we are, Allah yarhamni wa yarhamkum, where is our salah? Ya Rabbi, tub alayna ya Rabbi. Yes, both of you. But stuff, I cannot listen to both of you in one time. I cannot. Only Allah can do so, one at a time.
About the same hadith, so Shaitan, he could never trap Hazrat Umar, he wouldn't know what Hazrat Umar is thinking.
Okay, don't forget. You see, certain people, Allah give them certain bounty. One of them was Umar. Don't dig now what Allah give him and not give him. He gave him many things. Okay? Umar Khattab, the one when he make decision or he make advice, Allah comply according to his advice. 19 verse in Quran, Ahkam, came to steadfast what Umar said. Rasulullah SAW, he said, if a man will be a prophet after me, will be Umar. Go ahead.
Does the evil angels...
Does what?
The bad jinns, do they whisper to the good jinns like the way they whisper to us?
MashaAllah, good question. Is the bad jinn whisper to good jinn? I tell you the truth, I'm not a jinn, I do not know. I really do not know. I never been in this meeting. But I will tell you what I believe. Jinn as a jinn is obligated like us for the message. Meaning the message of Islam came to jinn and ins together. Meaning the ruling for both of us. Okay? What it mean now? I'm sure it has the good and bad. This why also we can give da'wah to them. When somebody possessed, you give him da'wah first. Okay? Now some people ask question, is jinn going to Jannah? I do not know. People speculate, yes, no, no, yes, is not our job. Worry about your Jannah, don't worry about their Jannah. Because the problem with us today, we're asking too many questions about others, and we do not ask questions about ourselves. Leave them alone. Worry about yourself. Any more question?
This question is too far, but I don't know. But I was talking to somebody about, he told me that he born in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he was talking about, you know, the fight and the mess going over there between the Catholic and Protestant, this mm-hmm. stuff. And completely I don't know anything about this, so I'd like to know, you know.
Okay. Somebody talked about the Irish people, and he said, I'm coming from Ireland, and he told me I want to know about the fight going on between Ireland and England. The Irish people believe they are completely away from Britain. And they believe they have their own identity. And the majority of them is Protestant, which is one sect of Christianity. Which is the British, the majority of them is Catholic. And they want to rule the Irish. But that's why if you look to the past, when England was a kingdom is so big, Ireland was underneath it. In last 100 and something years, when everybody started taking off, Ireland was wanted to take off. But Ireland until now part of England. But England fight, the Irish fight, and the whole thing is a fight. Okay? Whereas when we consider it, again, is a war of ideology, more than economy. Okay? And even they used to burn each other, burn houses.
Yeah, very
prejudiced against each other.
You can get out your house like at 3 o'clock in the morning or something like this, you can't.
Yeah.
You have to wait for the morning. Or you'll be killed, you know.
Yeah.
Burn it,
I don't know why people say they, I met somebody, right, and I just have to tell them something about so person, and they said, is that, so based on what people judge other people?
Say it again.
You know, I met some sister, mm-hmm. right, and I was talking to her, there's something we discussed in class, and she's saying that you're not,
mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not an alim, sure I'm not an alim.
No, but not
with
you, but you also say
sure. Okay, what's the point,
why did they say, why did they make such judgments?
You see, today, all problem all over. Can you trap yourself in what people say? Don't. Can you figure out what they say and why? Today, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, in the end of time, يصبح الحليم حيرانا. The one who have حلم, he will wake up uncertainty. This is if you are حليم. What happened if you're not حليم in the beginning? What happened if you have no quality in the beginning? What else? Do you think today, whatever who you are, do not come into many, many questions, you cannot find the answer? This part of this time, in the end of time, deception, deceiving, disunity. You see, we live in it. We live in it. We live in it. We live in it.
Somebody else is, but I'm just asking you for the knowledge. Let's say like your husband brings you something for like let's say a girl, her husband brings something for her, but she wants to give it to another sister because to follow the hadith, like what you love for yourself, you love for your sister. So what should be done in this situation?
Okay, if the husband give you a gift, and he's really a Muslim, okay. He give you a gift. Now once he give you a gift, okay, if it's a personal gift, number one, as a Muslim woman, you should make him happy and use whatever he give you. Because what happens if you give it? Only if he's a good Muslim, he will understand. But if he did not reach this level at this time, don't give it away and make him upset. You see, he get your address, he get you something. You cannot just go and give it to others. Very dangerous. What happened to your husband can get upset. Even if you're right, you're failing in one basic point. Making your husband pleased with you is more important than giving now the gift. You see? And also because a woman in Sharia, you cannot give anything belong to your husband, or husband give it to you, unless you ask him permission. This is another thing. Unless from your own money, is different.
Even the husband is bye-bye?
Even the husband is bye-bye, good question now. If the husband is bye-bye, now, why are you staying with him? If you're staying for dawah, is one thing. You see, if you're staying for Sabillah, one thing, and in this case, you should balance between obeying him for Sabillah and giving whatever it is for Sabillah. It's a lot of question. What about parents? You see? Today we are in a big mess in every aspect. Okay, number one, I do not know the detail of the job.
I do not know myself where I have to go see you.
You see, every week I see you tell me the same thing.
No, because I do.
Listen, go first, find out what's going on, and when you talk, talk with knowledge, not speculation.
In general, what is the rule about women working outside or like going outside for knowledge? Because this woman asked me that she's confused somewhat about, like, she read in a hadith that Prophet Muhammad said, do not let your daughters have knowledge too much, like in education terms.
Mm-hmm.
So she thinks that in, we should be like staying home because it's safe for us. And how can we go outside when we're supposed to cover ourselves? And isn't other, when we go outside, don't other people see us? And isn't it our fault? Isn't it from our fault?
Okay. You see, this question today is a trap for all of us. If you really want me to talk about Sharia, Sharia said yes. Woman, place is home. Girl's place is home. But today, if you sit at home, especially when your family is bye-bye, you have no family, who will take care about you? Is the imam in the area have committee and they're looking after all the girls and women in the area? Because according to Sharia, people forget something also. According to Sharia, men, supposed to be men, and the Muslim Ummah, and the house of money for Islam, supposed to support all these people. And otherwise, you tell me, you're going to sit home like Maryam alayhi salam, and everybody will get food from Jannah? Who will support you? Who will pay the rent? Who will take care about your need? You understand me? Can you be Maryam alayhi salam? No way. Maryam is Maryam. Can everybody pious get food from Jannah? You see? If this is the case, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us, according to Sharia, woman and needy and widow and whatever, have to get food and support from Baytul Mal al-Muslimin. But where is that today? We have no khilafah, we have no imara, we have no leadership. Show me a masjid, have a list of all the women in the area has a problem. And the imam go to the rich people and make them committed to support them. By this way, they do not have to work in odd jobs. Tell me. By this way, today we want the answer according to Sharia. But where is the implementation? You see? Yes, as a girl, you should not be in 99% of what you do is wrong. It's haram. And believe me, all this haram go in the hand of your family, your relative, and go to every neck of the Muslim Ummah man. Because every time you work, every time you expose yourself, the man in society, Muslim, is responsible. How many Muslim men said, oh, my sister in Islam, go home, I take care about you? Where? Where? Then, is Islam become a session and everybody go home? What happened if you're living in a very bad environment? What happened if your environment, even your family environment, is dangerous to you? You're supposed to migrate. You tell me now, go to a masjid. Said, I'm a girl, inshallah I'm a good girl, I want to be a good Muslim. Who can marry me for sabilillah? By this way, I do not be exposing myself to others and be running after my provision. Where? Whereas the girl will talk like that, whereas the man will marry her for sabilillah. Where? See, but where is the girl who really want Allah and thinking this way only, and she's not living between her mind, society, mom, dad, the whole lunatic? No, you have to also immigrate once and for all for Sabilillah and said Allahu Akbar. And there's no any shy to do that. O Muslim men, please, I want somebody to marry me as soon as possible. I want to be clean from this environment. Help me out. And even you should not talk like that. The young men should do that for you. If they are men, and if they are Muslim. And at this time, you should worry about who will marry you. Only one thing should be worried about. If he's a good Muslim, Allahu Akbar, come. Because today I have another problem. Do we really value the goodness? Tell me, do we value goodness? I was talking to one family yesterday, and I remember, back home in Egypt, if a man coming from Saudi Arabia or the Gulf with money, the whole family want to invite him. They want to borrow money to just make sure they feed him until he dies. And whatever the most beautiful girl in the family, we will have decorate her to make sure maybe he will fall in love by his way, he will marry her. Nobody care about her Islam, his Islam. Nobody care about his age. Nobody care about anything. Only people care about things. He has money. He has money. And I can hear it in many times in my life. Trap him. Trap him. Get him. Get him. And the whole family try to do everything possible to get this man to marry one of the girls. Why? Only for one intention. Because he can benefit the whole family. He can send money. He can give her money. And even if he divorces her after 1 year or 2 years, no problem. Why? Because he can give her some money. Or an apartment. By this way, this is our mentality. Now, let's talk about us now. We're supposed to be the awakening one. We the one, we mashallah, we want Allah, we want Allah. How many of you, okay, think this way, but for Sabilillah, for a man with goodness, do we do the same? The problem, I find it, no. We talk like that, and when the time comes, we do the opposite, or we do like our parents. Because I believe without no doubt, if your heart changed, Allah changed everything for you. And Allah will give you according to what you're really aiming for. Sure, but you see, you trust in Allah, but you have to make an effort to. And this effort has to be for Sabilillah.
But effort to look for a husband?
Not exactly. But you see, if you, for example, you see a good person, and you think this person has goodness and can benefit you, why not? You can send a message. Excuse me, you are a good person. Can you come marry me if you do not mind? And you can do it even without no name. Say it again.
How can you think about this when you, for example, I think about the other Muslims and the other?
What do you mean?
For example, I think about Muslims in Afghanistan, in other countries, like, we should have gone there to give them the law, whatever. But like, I think about like, how I can benefit them.
You see what happened? Also, you see how I can benefit my others when I think about myself. You see, if you think about yourself, you don't think about yourself for yourself. You think about yourself to stabilize yourself. You think of yourself to strengthen yourself. Because today, face it, if you are a good girl and you want Allah and you are in a family so corrupted, you're so limited. You're so limited. By this way, marriage for Sabilillah is a cure for this problem. The one who share with you the same mentality and the same goal. Where, we're not talking about where now, we said if it happened, if you see the person, if you believe this is a person. You see? If you believe this is a person, okay? My point is, if you see goodness, you should run after it. The way we run after material, we should run after our goodness. And the main goodness is the goodness of Sabilillah, the goodness of Akhirah. This is my point, okay, without any details. What time now?
30.
MashaAllah. Any question, any concern? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering if, when I go to masjid, the young girls, they don't know much about Islam, or, and I was wondering if it's okay for the teacher to have, like, teach them a little bit before she starts giving them their lessons in Arabic, if it's okay if she were to give them little talks about Islam before.
Okay. You're talking about yourself or others?
What do you mean?
Are you the teacher?
No.
Okay. Thank Allah. Because today, the point is, if I'm somebody teaching Islam in the masjid, and people come to teach them Quran and stuff like that, why I should not give them the basic before that? Because we are sick. You see? We're teaching recitation, we let them memorize Quran. And when a person coming in from your relative come, oh, come. Sure, uncle. Recite. But it's the whole thing to recite. But you can go back to your room and watching TV. It's no problem. You can be a wacko inside out, but recite. Okay? May Allah forgive the teacher who teaching and do not teach the basic. Okay? What you do now, you should cry over that. And you should ask Allah, oh Allah, accept me. Let me carry the message. And maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make barakah in you and make you inviter. You see, today we do not respect that. Who knows? Maybe you came in here to be inviter for Sabilillah. Do you have to have too much? You're only one thing. A heart want Allah. A heart want benefit mankind. Yes, you saw not too much. You're so limited. Your heart is not limited. If you belong to Allah. Allah can take a few of us and boom! It's up to Allah. But if we mean it, if we really mean it, because today, the misconception in every aspect in Islam is spreading. What it mean now? I'm telling you in the front of Allah. And I put my neck in the front of Allah responsible. The highest level of jihad today to give da'wah with a role model, with your manner, with your conduct, with your akhlaq, with your quran, with your generosity, with your right understanding, with iman and yaqeen, with the understanding is you have a duty to do. This is the highest. If you get this message and live it and die like that, I promise you, if you're sincere living this message and die, you die in the level of siddiqiyya, which is the highest level underneath Messenger and Prophet. And who said that? Two, three people. Among them, Imam Abu Hamid Ghazali, rahmatullah alayh, Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahmatullah alayh, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayh, and many another Imam. In the time of the corruption, the highest jihad is learning and teaching and spread the right knowledge. You see? Any question, any concern?
My friend has a baby. When I look at this baby, I feel she has a lot of patience. She is eaten. But when I try to look at her carefully, I discovered this is not her problem, this is a parent, how to take care of the baby. So she generates emotion. For example, she won't go to the bathroom, she won't eat, but the parent doesn't take care of them, and then she generates not patience. No. My question is that habits and this kind of not patient, for example, not patient, not harm. Rashi, those kind of this quality doesn't have a lost part. So, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala made our souls already. This time, I don't know, it's already have
is that disease or no?
Yeah, disease. When it came from habits and not beyond Allah's.
Okay, she has many questions now, but related to one. She said, if I have a friend, and the friend has a baby, and the baby always have a problem, eating and sleeping and eating and going to the bathroom, and the baby has no patience, and the baby has, I see, different bad quality. Where does the bad quality come from? And if Allah created us from the beginning, that Allah created us with bad quality and bad habit. Where it's coming from? All goodness coming from Allah. And all badness coming from us and shaitan. But we said Allah allow it to happen. Why Allah allow it to happen? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Hud, verse 57, He gave us a beautiful remedy. What he said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوَعِذَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. This verse for me, I read it one time like 5 years ago. And almost it hit me like I never heard it in my life. What it said, oh you people, I send you a message, a wisdom, and a cure of what you have in your chest. And a cure of what you have in your chest. And guidance and mercy to the believer. Say, this is the ultimate. They should be happy of what I give them, the mercy of Allah. It's better what other accumulate. By this way, in this verse is many advice. What it said, this Quran, it contain wisdom. It contain guidance. It contains cure of what you have in your heart. By this way, according to my understanding, according to my belief and the belief of the majority, inshallah, of the ummah, we've been created with a lot of default, with a lot of mistakes, with a lot of sins, with a lot of bad things. And the more we take the guidance, the more we take the Quran is what? Considered the medication, the cure for our disease. The more we take it, the more we get cure from our disease. Why Allah create me with a disease? To check you out how much you believe in the medication and how much you will take the medication. The more you take the medication, the more it will work for you. And also, if you are sick, why you cannot go take the medication? If you want to cure, take it regularly until you build the strength and you gain immune system strength against your weakness. Can I say, okay, I have bad habits? Bad habits, Amira, meaning arrogant. Because any bad habit, believe me, Quran will burn it. Any bad habits, any disease in your heart, Quran is able to burn it completely. Only if you allow it. Meaning if you humble enough to go to Allah and Allah, let's ask Allah to erase it from me. And this needed a mujahada, struggle, fight against yourself. But some people, they're so weak. And they're not ready for the fight. Leave them alone and don't look at them. And look at yourself. Because I saw something else. One of the scholars used to say something so beautiful. He said, وَلِلَّهِ فِي عِبَادِهِ شَأْ. Allah, between him and his own slave, is something. Do we know the wisdom? For example, you can read Quran and get guidance 20%. You 5%. You 10%. You 50%. You 40%. And I saw in my life, some people keep growing, and some people stop. Some people stuck. Some people go down. Nothing you can do. But this also a wisdom from Allah to show you, you're not the one. It's not your eyes. It's not your intellect. It's not how much you read. It's not how much you memorize. It's how much you struggle to let this message living inside of you. For example, I promise you, if you call Allah and said, Allah, I'm sick, Allah, cure me. I was talking to some people a couple of days ago. I came from a family, it's so nerves, so powerful, so stuck, so, you know, they get angry so quick. And when I was young, I used to cry to Allah, oh Allah, give me tawbah. Because one sheikh, he said, if you inherited something from your parents, bad quality, ask Allah to give you tawbah. There's no way out. Ask Allah to give you tawbah of what they have. And make an effort to erase it. Don't act like them and say, this me does not exist. Say to Allah, cleanse me, Allah. Purify me, Allah. You see? And make an effort and take the maximum of the medication. If you really mean it, Allah can switch you. Allah can change you. Exactly like the companion. Look at them before Islam, look at them after Islam. Huge difference. Can I gain similar to them? Sure. Take the message the way it is, you will see. I saw it in my life. I used to be very nervous like everybody else. But when I was very young, I used to cry. Oh Allah, don't make me like that. Don't make me like that. Don't make me tough. Don't make me anger. Don't make me deal with people with anger. And I spent years and years and years, and even until this moment, if a situation arises and start bringing anger inside of me, believe me, I will hate it. Not the situation. I will hate myself. To me, losing myself and can be in a state of temper. Because meaning shayateen, I do not want it. I want angels. Now, if you want to do that, what it mean? You need a lot of zikr. You need a lot of recitation. You need a lot of closeness to Allah. You need to really a lot of knowledge to develop your real iman and yaqeen. By this way, shaitan will not take you. It's a big struggle in every aspect. If you believe in one college, if you believe in one degree, what you do? You work so hard. Look at you. All these young girls. You're losing the prime time of your life. You're losing your beauty. You're losing the most beautiful time in your life. For what? For a degree. Maybe it will work. Imagine. The most prime time in your life, you lose it for what? Maybe it will give you something. By this way, the mother or the father can distribute their own sickness and their own curse by Allah and them by bad habit to the child. What's called in society today genetic. Genetic and bad habit according to the environment. Because who deal with the baby all the time? You. You can teach the baby to be stubborn. You can teach the baby to be arrogant. You can teach the people all kind of bad habits. And who's the teacher? The mother, number one. And after that, you will complain about the baby. Now, if you are a good mother or a good father, why you do not teach yourself in the first place? This now it needs basira. Because if you give up, what anybody can do to you? You have to have it. You have to want it. Now I will tell you something for Sabilillah Amira, in the front of Allah. Today, a lot of people refuse to be cured. Refused. Leave me alone. Especially mother today. Once he be a mother, is a sickness in the ummah today. Sickness in the mother ummah today. They become so possessed and they believe it's my child. And they forget. Believe me, if you study Islam according to Sharia, you know what Sharia said? If you are a good mother, you should go to the father and say, oh father, how do you want me to treat your own son or daughter? This Sharia. Even if he divorces you, still the child belongs to him in the front of Allah. You are the owner of Hadana, meaning you are the babysitter of your baby. But according to Sharia, a father has to dictate how the child will be. Show me one today, educated or not educated. No, you have to prove your husband is sick, out of mind, but that's what you do, go ahead and do whatever you want. Why? Because you are sick in the head in the first place, and you have sickness of obsession.
But the parents is good, and it's good their kids is very nice, but when their kids go to the school, or to get some friends, they change.
Okay. What happens if I'm good parents, my kids is good, and later on, my kids go to school, and later on they change? Okay? This meaning the cycle of the fitna has to continue. And because the negligence of the parents to fix the society. Because today we think, if I, good, everybody go to heaven. But it's not true. If I'm good, what is my duty to be good to society? Today we do not have it. Do we think about being good to society? Do we think about society as a part of us? And if we do not make an effort in society, society will get us? This is our sickness and blindness. And this is what we pay the price for that. But we do not know. For example, when you look at the companion of Rasulullah, once you go to any society, what does he do? They establish deen inside themselves and start do da'wah. And today what we do? We are so sick. Once we go to any society, we are so engraved in ourselves and we forget society as soon or later will destroy us. This is how blind and sick we are. We miss the whole boat. We miss the message. We miss the message. We do not have it. Today, we're so beating ourselves toward the world, and we think we have it. If we have it, it's not will be the condition. And even if you're good, and your kid is good, Allah will protect them, as soon or later. Yes, correct line. Say it again.
Is it true if your father or your mom does that to you for anything is a blessing?
Is a blessing from Allah, why?
Because my father said that you should take any kind of harshness from your elders if you are supposed to tolerate it.
Okay. You see, he's right and he's wrong. He's right because any hardship you have it from your parent, sure. And you tolerate it for sabillah is a blessing from Allah. But doesn't mean I'm a father now dealing with you and as a lunatic and said you have to be nice and I'm blessing you now. This again, sickness in a Muslim society. Why? They take the license Allah giving them and they abuse it in their own way. Sure. Sure, he yelled at you, is his business. The way you react is your adab and your adab with Allah, not with him.
So we have to be
fashion. Sure, you should not.
I learned that
you see what happened? Something I tell everybody, but you guys do not get it yet. If you believe in Allah and really you belong to Allah, what Allah will do for you? He will be for you. Now what happens if Allah grant you and put you in a family and the family is so out of whack and give you a hard time, is also part of your journey. To trim you, to prepare you. But you as a young people do not want to be patient.
No, but I like it.
What's that?
I like it.
You see, what happened is nothing to do with like it and even dislike it. Is what happened is believe in Allah, what He's doing to you. This is all I can tell you. In any given time, whatever Allah ordained for you is a wisdom. Only when you turn it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But today we're not ready. We're so arrogant. We use everything technicality with our mind. Or our according to our emotion. Any question, any concern? Yes?
Another question about love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
In this question, for example, a man, he was doing good for every time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when he goes to death, he did some big sin and he goes to Jahannam. Another woman, she was prostitute, before she died, she gave the water, and she went to Jannah. So, even me, I spend a day in nothing making big things, but I'm making small things every time. I mean, thinking about nonsense, my behavior not correct for so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a very, very big heart, and maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive my sin too.
What is your question?
Okay. I don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. Because
okay.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved me, but if I did
Okay, wait. What happened is you're mixing between two basic knowledge in Islam. If Allah loves you, He guides you and He gives you. But Allah, in the meantime, He wants you to be humble and don't be arrogant over anybody. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell you in many ahadith, like Rasulullah SAW, He said, the person do all the acting of Jannah until he reach one span between him and the grave. He walk in the deed of the people of Jahannam and go to Jahannam. And a person all his life do Jahannam work until one span between him and the grave, and Allah guide him and give him a good deed, and he die of the people of Jannah. This two topic, Amira, very important, a lot of Muslims do not understand. Okay? This is show you how much mercy Allah can do. And also to be very careful, not to be arrogant, because Allah give you guidance, or He allow you to be a pious person. Because today, I give you an example. I know one sister. One time she called me and she said, I cannot make tahajjud, I cannot do this, I cannot do that. Okay? She can do extra nawaf. But I find out, the same sister, every time she used to worship, she become arrogant. So arrogant. Because today we forget, the main worship should lead you to what? More humble. More closeness to Allah. Not to walk with arrogance and say, I did fasting, I did tahajjud, I did this, I did that, I'm better than everybody. Who give you the letter? This is by itself a major sin above all the sinner. And a work of shaitan. To make you have ujb. To like yourself. And in the meantime, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah explained it. He said, maybe a sin make you closer to Allah. And maybe a good deed make you closer to Jahannam. They ask him, how come? He said, a sins make you always fear Allah to the point. You always have this poverty between you and Allah, which Allah loves so much. Allah accepts you. And maybe somebody do a lot of good deed to the point he likes himself so much, Allah destroy him. And this is one of the problem we have today. One of the problem we have today, once you be a good deeder, and Allah give you some understanding and knowledge and good deed, you look to other down. And this one of the no-no in Islam. Because you should look at them and say, maybe they are much better than me. And also I do not reach the level to I really, my nur and my light penetrating them, changing them. Meaning something wrong with me. And this is why the early people really, if you study their life, they always believe they are a sinner. And today, once I have a beard, once I have a kufi, once I make some salah, once I fast, Allahu Akbar, leave me alone. I'm with Jibreel alayhi salam now, I'm so high. Who said so? Or once I'm in hijabi now, and the girl is not wearing hijab, I'm better than them. This is a very sickness in the ummah. Why? Because the real judgment belongs to Allah. Don't even come closer. Don't even touch it. Leave it alone. You never know who among you can be much better than you in the front of Allah. And this is the core. By this way, all what you're talking about it is only for one thing, Amir. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell you, don't be arrogant. Don't be arrogant. And always be poverty to Allah. Allah, He want that. He wanted to be in this state. When Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Jibreel alayhi salam came to give him salam from Allah and said, Ya Rasulullah, Inna salama yuqru'aka salam. Wa yaqula la Aba Bakr, Hal anta radin anillah? Allah radin anka Aba Bakr. Imagine Jibreel alayhi salam coming from Allah, giving salam to Abu Bakr in a condition he has. And he said, Allah is so pleased with you. Are you pleased with Allah? Abu Bakr started screaming. And he said, I'm pleased, I'm pleased, I'm pleased. Tell Allah, I'm pleased. And after that, he said a sentence so beautiful. Yeah. Look at the people with Iman. Look at Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu. He said, Ya Rasulullah, tell Jibreel alayhi salam to tell Allah, if one foot enter Jannah, and the another foot do not enter, I will not stop the plot of plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Makrullah. I do not know if I'm going in or out. Look at this. If he saw one foot enter Jannah and the another foot did not enter, he will not stop worrying about his destiny. This Abu Bakr Siddiq. If you do not like what I said, please go buy this book called Major Sins by Imam al-Dhahabi. And one of the major sins, makrullah, the plot and plan of Allah. وَلَا يَأْمَنْ مَكْرُ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمَ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Nobody, you know, let it go of the makr of Allah except the disgraced one and the loser. And also this another thing, to let us always live with hope, please, I hope. We have to have this hope. Now, how you are in a state of hope, and a beggar, and a state is walking, like Federal Express get you a letter, you are already accepted. So companion gets the acceptance, and you worry. Salman al-Farisi, the one Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Salman minna ahl al-bayt. Salman among my family. And he was not even an Arabic. He said, whoever makes Salman happy, he make me happy, he make Allah happy. Whoever makes Salman upset, he make me upset, he make Allah upset. And Salman, in the moment of death, he cried. He cried. And the companion coming to him, he said, Ya Salman, you're going to meet Rasulullah. You're going to meet Allah. You are one of the people Allah and Rasulullah give you the glad tidings. He said, no, I oppress. I deny my oath between me and Rasulullah. He said, how? How, Ya Salman? He said, look to the wall. I have one extra dress. For one extra dress, he believed he betrayed the oath between him and Allah and Rasulullah. If you do not like it, read his story. Read the authentic word of Salman by himself. Look at these people. In the moment of death, all of them afraid they are a hypocrite. They are a sinner. And these are people who Allah pleased with them. Rasulullah gave them a glad tidings. You are be among the Jannah people. And look at us. Because I did some salah, or some zikr, or some reading, or I've been in halaqa, I woke like Allahu Akbar. Tell me where we are. Where we are and where they are. Omar, the one we said, if you mention his name in any place, shaitan cannot enter. Just to mention his name. When Rasulullah SAW died, what he did? He went to Hudhaifah radiallahu anhu, and he said to him, is my name among the hypocrites? And he crying. He said, please, Hudhaifah, tell me, if my name among the 19 of hypocrites? Please. Hudhaifah used to cry and tell him, please don't say, Ya Omar, you Faruq al-Ummah. He said, no, I'm Omar. Look, please, look. Be careful, look. See if my name among them. Where we are today. Yes?
Where the 10 companions were probably present.
We can talk about it in another session now.
No,
because you see what happened? This hadith is like the name of Allah. It's many a hadith. You have one hadith, 10 people in one meeting. This one hadith. But people confuse. Is many times Rasulullah gave glad tidings to many people. By the way, the whole ummah is sick. They do not understand. Like the name of Allah. You have the 90 name of Allah, the most beautiful name. But this reported in one hadith. Doesn't mean this all the name of Allah. This reported in one hadith. They call it the 90 name of the most beautiful name of Allah. Is the only one? No. Some scholars calculate over 255 name of Allah. Now, similar, Rasulullah in one meeting, he gave a glad tidings to a 10. But doesn't mean this 10, okay, is the only 10. No, Rasulullah gave glad tidings to many, in many ahadith. You have to be careful about that. Because people sometimes, you follow this hadith, and they forget how many another hadith. If you want, we can talk about it in one complete session about the 10 and who they are and what going on and how they died. But you understand so far? Now you understand, Amira? Mm-hmm. Now, in Islam, when you read hadith, you have to understand the hadith belong to what issue? One topic. By this way, this hadith about people can do the Jahannam action and go to Jannah and people do Jannah and go to Jahannam to Allah show you. Okay? Nobody exempt. But we always make you fear and hope together. And have no arrogance. And try to be sincere. That's it. By this way, if you have that, don't ever point finger. You do not know who's next. This is why Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and anhuma, he always say something beautiful. He said, we the companion of Rasulullah, we never say he's good or he's bad. Until he died. And we see how he died. Because the way you died, it tells you exactly where you go. Do we know how he died? Do we know how I died? No. You wait until you see. Is a person die with fitna or die in a good deed? But today we do not understand. For example, if you go to jail, if you are sick, if you are a bad person, if somebody call you all kind of name, you are a bad person? No. It is the way you die. Everybody can say you are the worst man on earth, but you die in sajda. You die in jum'ah. You die in a certain state of piety. It's not what people do to you, it's what you have between you and Allah. You understand? And this go back to what you have in your heart. One sheikh, when I was young, he said, the whole thing about how much do you have? meaning how much you have honesty between you and Allah. What do you want? If you really want Allah, inshallah, as soon or later, Allah will give you good ending. But if you have corruption in your heart, as soon or later, this corruption can grow and you're finished. May Allah save us really. And this why, imagine all the companion was worried about purifying their heart and make everything for Sabilillah. And we're not worried about it. It's not the show, it is the internal. The internal is the one will last, not the external. And this why the whole Ummah today running after external so quick and not developing internal. And when the wind comes, external is gone. And the show up of the internal. Islam is inside out, not outside in. Today everybody go outside in. It never. The message of Allah, if you follow it step by step, is inside out. You develop inside and inside grow. Not outside grow, inside no. Never. You understand? What time now?
3:17.
Meaning almost 10 minutes or less or more, according to different school of thought about us. Okay? Don't fight and don't argue. Because we love to be ready. The beginning of Salah approximately 3:25, 3:26, 3:27, according to different calendar, and if you're Hanafi, it will be almost 4:15 or 4:17, and according to different messages, it will be 5 o'clock, 5:15, according to the convenience of others. Pick and choose. Now, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Everybody satisfied now?
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah?
I have a...
Okay. Okay, what happened is also, you have to learn, you can hear a piece of knowledge, it will not get too much. You have to be patient until Allah feeds it to you. And sometimes feeding a piece of knowledge does not come with a stalk. It will be a situation. And all of a sudden, now I get it. By this way, doesn't mean always you go to hear somebody speaking, you will understand it. But when I was young, somebody tell me something, don't ever fight. Piece of knowledge. Let it go. Don't destroy it. Let it go, put it in a safe deposit inside. One day it might bloom or grow, or maybe even Allah allow you to understand what it means. Because comprehending is big different than seeking knowledge. Comprehending and fahm is only by Allah. And this is the highest gift of Allah to you, to get the wisdom. Any question, any concern? Yes, go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
I've heard or read hadith about angels that were created, and from the beginning of the creation, they were put in sajda or any other type of position, and until their destruction, they will remain in this position, and when they're put out of this position, they will complain that they were not in that position enough. So my question is in two parts. Do angels shed tears? And if they do, is there any way for a Muslim to make an angel shed a tear over them?
MashaAllah. Do you hear his question? It's a beautiful question. But the only thing I can tell you right away, everything I said is reported by different hadith, but weak hadith, but reported. And I can tell you where you can find it. And one of them is, if you study the story of Isra and Mi'raj completely, from different sources, and if you go again to Imam al-Dhahabi, al-Kaba'ir, the major sins, and is located in the market. But the real one, not the shortened one. Now, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went Isra and Mi'raj, according to some report, Jibreel alayhi salam, he saw the upper part of Jibreel. And He said, "Oh, how big you are, Jibreel." He said, "Ya Rasulallah, you do not see my brother Israfil. I am nothing compared to Israfil." And he took him and saw Israfil. And according to this report, Rasulullah, he said, "Ya Jibreel, why Israfil is not smiling? He's crying and his face toward Allah all the time." He said, "Ya Rasulallah, Israfil alayhi salam, the one who blew in the trumpet, from the day Allah created Jahannam, he's so scared of Allah and worry about his destination and looking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, afraid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to curse him or change his position." This is Israfil alayhi salam. Now, also we know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Isra al Mi'raj and when he coming back, what he said? He said, "Atat al-sama, wa kadat laha an ta'id. Ma min mawda shibr fi al-sama illa wa malakan qa'im aw sajid aw raka." He said, "The sama, the sky, atat. The sama is making a sound, almost going to break." And he said, "Almost going to break, and it almost could be broken." He said, "Why?" He said, "Because I saw the whole skies is full of angels. No place equal 4 finger distance without an angel standing or making a rukuh or making sujood, praying to Allah. No place is empty. Every place is full of angels worshipping Allah." And according to another report, all this angel, when Allah finishes the whole earth, will go to Allah in the Day of Judgment and said, "مَا عَبَدْنَاكَ حَقَّ عِبَادَتِكَ." We did not worship you enough or equal to your present, Ya Allah. By this way now, Brother Asif asked, this is the condition of angel. The one, they will never commit sins, they always in a state of worship. And can the angel cry? Yes, according to some report, they cry. They cry afraid from Allah. They cry making dua for us. And making zikr for us by our name, if you reach the level. Now what about, can angel cry from our action? Yes. It's reported in many situations. For example, one of the hadith is, if a man, a young man or a girl, have a lot of desire and want to commit any haram, and the desire of their body is so overwhelming, and they want to have any desire, but they controlling themselves for sabilillah, and said, "Oh Allah, I'm controlling myself for you, Ya Allah. I do not want to commit any haram, Ya Allah." At this time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Oh, my angel," he gathered the angel, "this young girl or young boy is more elevated in my eyes than you." You see? If you are a young man or young girl or a person with desire, and somehow you won't fulfill your desire, but you're afraid of Allah, and you're controlling yourself for sabilillah, Allah at this time gathered the angel and said, "انظروا يا ملائكتي ويباهي بهم الله الملائكة." Allah, he's so happy and so pleased of you. To the point he brings the angel to bear witness that. What about when you're fasting? Similar. What about when a girl or a woman, okay, a Muslim girl or a Muslim woman, and she tried to please her husband or to try to be good for sabilillah, the whole ain't go, the one Allah created him so beautiful, and say, "Oh Allah, we are so pretty. Where is our husband? Where is our resident?" At this time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reported, "No, a woman earthy, believe in me, obey her husband, try to please me without I give her beauty more than the beauty of Hur al-Ayn." There's a point that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, of the meaning of, if one of Zuhur al-Ain, her fingertips touch and show up to this sky of dunya, it makes the sun like a candle, compared to her beauty. Just the fingertips of how much light she will generate of her fingertips will make the sun like a candle. Now listen to this now. And if a woman, earthy woman, if the earthy woman, her piety accepted by Allah, she will make the Hurayn like a candle compared to her light. Believe me, people, you're missing a lot. You're missing a lot. If we understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planning for us, nothing in this earth would be worth it. Just to regain this. Yes,
when,
I'm reading.
When Allah will call the angels around, when Allah will call the angels to witness the person fasting or the person, on the day of judgment, will the angels be witness for that?
MashaAllah, sure. We as a human being and the angel witness to us and against us. But let me tell you what's scary. How you live and how you die. If you die in a state of pleasure of Allah, all your friend of angels, all the angel bear witness to you about your good deed and your piety, or whatever you do. You know what they do? They said, oh Allah, please forgive the person. Give him tawbah, elevate him his level, and make dua for you. And this angel also will make intercession in your behalf, even if you plan to be going to Jannah. They will make shafa'ah for you. For one good deed you've done in your life, for sabilillah. We're missing Allah. We do not know our status in the front of Allah. And let me tell you something, one scholar told me when I was young. He always said, if you have money, or if you are young and you do good deed, always do multiple good deeds. Do the maximum of good deed in every place. Why? He said, good deed, every good deed has different angels. Different levels. And he said, the happy one, the wise one, the one who wants to gain from every aspect. It's almost like going to the White House or going to some place and you are a friend of George Bush. Either, if you're a friend of the mayor of New York City, he give you a certain service agent. If you are friend of the head of the CIA, different service agent. If you are friend of George Bush, it's different service agent, different levels. You see? وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلِ الْأَعْلَى. To Allah have the example. Different piety, different good deed, different sacrifice for Allah, different level of angel will be your companion. And this is why you have what you call it Malaikatullah al-Muqarrabin, the most closest angel to Allah. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Do we understand that? Do we hungry for that? You see, do we hungry for that? Do we hungry of what he did? It's a companion, not us. Look at the amount of sacrifice he did. The companion do not have too much our knowledge, like us. But all of them, they said, have one thing in common. They doing the knowledge. We have the knowledge, missing the action. They have the action, missing the knowledge. You see? A lot of companions, they did not memorize too much Quran. They was busy for sabilillah, in one way or another. Jesus said, we did not know too much in Quran, but we live in Quran completely. And the time will come after us, you guys will know Quran from A to Z, from one page to another, but you do not have it in your heart. You see? And you're not ready to really live in it. He said, when Rasulullah tell us do, we do. And when you hear Allah do, you do not do. Huge difference. Huge difference between what Allah gives them in their heart and us. And this again go back to what intention? Your goal and intention. What do you want? What you aiming for? It go back to the basic again. This basic, believe me, is so powerful. I was telling people yesterday a story. I saw it in my life. This story, if you learn it today, it will really shake you. 3 years ago, exactly, I went to Umrah in Ramadan. And the travel agent put us in a hotel, 4-star hotel, but very cheap. I wonder how he did it. But once I arrived to the hotel, I know why he did it. The room is so luxury. The hotel is so luxury. I'm taking a shower. After taking a shower, I go to the bedroom full of sewer system. The whole bathroom flood into the bedroom. 4-star hotel. I call the service people, they come in, they fix it, they make everything clean, they dirt around the place. Half a day later, same thing again. It keeps repeating. And one of the people who came, he tell me, can I tell you something, but please don't tell anybody. I tell you so. I said, I have to move. He said, please do yourself a favor. Even if you move, the same room has the same problem. I said, what do you mean? He said, almost 60 to 70% of the hotel has the same problem. I said, how? This luxury hotel? He said, this hotel, they made a mistake. And the pillar of the hotel came tilted a little bit. And later on, after the hotel got occupied, they discover it has a major problem in the sewer system. Because the whole pipe is horizontal, is not completely horizontal. It's tilted one angle, causing a bucket of air, and every time somebody flush from the high level, it flood everybody else. I said, what's the fix? Is no fix until they destroy the whole building again. And the whole building, what? Almost $50 million. Do we get it? What happened if our pillar of Iman is tilted? What happened if our pillar of Iman is not so strong inside? What happened if our pillar of Iman is not strong at all? You see? What's the result? Is so bad in the future. And this is why I said to people, we as a ummah, until now, until this moment in my life, we never developed the strong pillar of Iman inside. To when a situation arises, we can handle it. Everything is decorated outside, but the pillar is not rooted. Why we cannot do? It is not rooted. Why we cannot sacrifice? We cannot do it. Why we cannot handle any wind or a storm? We cannot do it. Why? Because the pillar of Iman and belief in Allah and Akhirah is not rooted in a tongue, in a knowledge, in a notebook, but not in the heart. And which is why any personal situation coming to you, you cannot handle it. And if you handle it, you're lucky. You're really lucky. This is the mercy of Allah to you. You understand? By this way, where is our pillar? The pillar of Iman. Not the pillar of Islam. The pillar of Iman. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. Any question, any concern about what we said? By this way, without no doubt, this pillar of Iman has to be developed, has to be rooted, and over again, until it become part of me, it become me. To when a situation arises, I will behave according to what? My Iman. If my situation arises and my Iman is not strong, I will behave according to whom? My habit, my culture, my nafs, my shaitan. And this is why, believe me, today, 99% of all my life, when the situation really come, people behave what? Nafs, shaitan, situation. But what about Iman? No Iman. May Allah forgive me. Especially in marriage, in kids, in money, in a situation, in personal. Why? because we're too far from that. And this way, without no doubt, this journey of Iman internal has to be developed over and over again until we really have the right Iman. And how you know it? When a situation arises, you do not like it, you're ready to behave according to Allah, according to the way Allah will be pleased with you. Can I sit and learn? And that's it? No. Look at the people of earthquake. What happened if you have earthquake? What happened if you become in the street? What happened if you have nothing? What happened if you lose your health completely? Is your Iman still the same? You know? This is very important. Very important. And this is why today and every day we have to move to always why our Iman is so weak. Because developing Iman, really Iman, is not a talk, is not a speech. The companion get the message, I start doing. We get the message, we want to keep listening. If you keep listening, you will never develop real Iman. Real Iman coming with what? Action. And the most action we do not like is the action you do not like, you're not prepared for it. This is the one to check you out. By this way, can I say what, how much Iman I have? Only when a situation arises, how I behave. Do I clean my bad habits? Do I clean my attachment? If you do not clean your attachment, you're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. Meaning the journey of Iman is not starting yet. Because the more you go to Allah, the more clean you are. The more willing to do anything. Sacrificing becomes easy. What about your manner? What about your behavior? What about your voice? And this is what I see. And at this time in my life, I'm so scared like I never believe it. Because I saw people grow in knowledge and collapse in no time with small wind. Tiny wind, not even a storm. And it all will be what? About money. About a husband. About a wife. About a place. About whatever. About family. About envy. About jealousy. What it mean? Where's Iman? Where's the reality of Iman? What happened to it? Meaning it was too tiny. This wind. And this is what's called fitna. Because the whole dunya is fitna. If I'm not willing to let it go, this piece of dunya will destroy me. May Allah save us, really. Save us from ourselves. Save us from our own shaitan. Today, every place we go, they make dua against non-Muslim. What about we make dua against ourselves? And are going to our shayateen. And Allah to protect us from ourselves, protect us from His anger, and open His mercy to us, and unite our heart to Him honestly and sincerely to Him. To when a situation arises, I behave according to what He wants, not according to what I want. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Anybody come new to me, I ask a question. What do you want? What you looking for?
Islam.
Islam is so big. Be specific.
How to live my life?
How to live your life. Already Allah said it to you. Allah tell you be abd. That's it. If you are abd, That's it. He took care about the rest. And if you abd, you have no choice. If you abd, you do not choose. He chose for you. And you have to be content and thank your master for what he chose to you. Can you understand everything? You will never. Can you comprehend what's happening to you? You never. Later on, might understand. This why is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you make dua, and Allah do not accept it from you, and Allah do not give you what you want, in the day of judgment, you will be screaming. Because Allah will tell you, you remember this day, you make this dua, you said, yes, Ya Allah. He said, okay, do you remember I did not give you what you want? You said, yes, Allah. He said, look, I saved this for you. And he showed you a palace in Jannah. At this time, you were screaming and said, oh Allah, I wish you never give me anything I want. We are a fool, big one. I'm the first. We want everything according to what we like. And we forget, the ultimate is what he ordained for you. More specific.
How can I actually be out?
How I can learn to be abd? MashaAllah. To be abd, you have to know who is your master. Because if you know who is your master, your ubudiyyah will become very easy. Especially when you know who is your master and his quality. You will love your master. You will like to believe in him. You will like to obey him more. And at this time, your master will shower you with his knowledge and wisdom and the tawfiq of make you a real abd, a good abd. And this coming by him, not by you. But only when you keep knocking. When you keep knocking the door of him and tell him, please make me a abd. And at this moment, I will give you a quiz. Today with our tongue, we said, we want you, Allah. We want to be a abd. We want. How many times we seek the knowledge of Allah? How much discipline we have of seeking the knowledge of Allah? How much hungry we have in our heart to think about Allah and the unity of Allah. Look how many time we spend for dunya and how much we spend for akhirah. How much we willing to do anything for dunya and how much we willing to do for akhirah. Is any one of us know if tomorrow it will be a new day for me? How come today I do not do my best for akhirah? How come every day I'm doing the leftover of my time for akhirah? How many days I go back and I do not sacrifice anything for sabilillah? And I do not make any effort between me and Allah? Can I keep going like that? What I'm showing Allah? And if a situation coming for money, for status, for a dunya affair, I'm doing maximum effort. Where's my honesty now in my journey? Where's my Rabb? Do you think Allah is not watching? He doesn't know? And this is what today a lot of us do not understand. When we pick and choose the way we go to Allah, and we forget, what He chooses for us might be completely different. And this is what I see today among many people. You might say, you see today when I deal with majority of what's called Muslim or Muslim, we want worship, we want to do zikr the way we want. But that's it. Any sacrifice, leave me alone. Any real effort, leave me alone. Look at the companion. Look at the difference between us and them. The main difference between us and them is they were ready to sacrifice anything for Sabilillah right away, not tomorrow, not by thinking. I'm dealing with many family today, and everybody wants the routine Islam. Meaning Islam without touching our routine life. Nobody wants to touch in his own account. Nobody wants to touch his own whatever. Everybody stuck in what he wants. And we want to go and establish elevation between us. It doesn't work. You know, when I have certain amount of money in my pocket, and I want to go to visit some people, and I want to buy them something, you know what happened? Shaitan coming to me, this is the last money. You see, don't do that. Look for the future. Look next week. You see, if I listen to him, I will be finished. But today, how many of us believe in what Allah is saving for us? And how much we believe in what we're saving? What about you as a young people? You might say, I have no money. What about the degree? What about the college? It's the same. It's the same, identical. I'm willing to drop any Islamic session, any knowledge, because the professor wants me to finish the homework. Who's watching? Allah. And we cannot get away. Or a job. I tell you people what I've always said. Oh Allah, make me abd. Don't make me abd to anybody except you. If you say it right, if you say it sincere, Allah will show you. But welcome to calamity. Allah will try you right and right and left. Until He cleanses you completely from everything you own. When you have zero, the journey of Iman and Yaqeen is started. You will never go to Allah just like that. If you think you can go to Allah, tailor it the way you like, you're crazy. You do not know Allah. Wait for the surprises. Because each one of us, if you really think deeply, every time we gain Iman, when the time was boom, a hit. And this is what we do not get. Inshallah, let's stop for Salah, and after Salah we continue, inshallah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ana al-Wali, what it mean? We call it in English what? Guardian. The protecting friend. Do we use him now? Imagine a situation arises, I go to everybody, but I'm not even thinking about him. Aisha radiallahu anha, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, Rasulullah teach me, and sometimes another hadith she said, Rasulullah teach us. What? To run for every musibah to salah. Every situation arise, to go to what? To run to salah. To make salah and asking Allah, do we do that today? The helicopter work. Non-stop. Until we crash. Really? This is scary. Really scary. And we try to blame everybody else except me. And this individual and the level of the ummah. We become a crying baby. Pratt, crying baby. Believe me, wallahi, you have a situation in your life. And you go to Allah honestly. And you call Him. And tell Him, Ya Wali. But be honest. Don't tell him, Ya Wali, and you already decided what you want to do. Don't tell him, Ya Wali, and you do not want him. You do not want to do what he wants you to do. Because today we did agenda already. You cannot do agenda. You have to go to Allah, honest to Allah. Meaning we finish al-Wali. MashaAllah. How many of you live in it? Honest to Allah. Okay, you heard it, you learn it in a complete session. How many of you, in any situation, you call Allah Ya Wali? And you really behave according, He is your Rabb, He is your Wali, and your slave, and He will take care about you. Honest to Allah. Who? Anyone? Please, honest to Allah. The first moment the situation arises, you turn it to Him. And you said, Ya Wali, take care about me, Allah. And be quiet.
I haven't been saying the name, but I've been telling myself all the time, if Allah claims to be my guardian, how come I worry about things?
Okay, but did you behave according? Did you have it to the point become a part of your personality? You? No, that's it. Yes or no? That's it. Yes or no? That's it. By this way, last week I discovered something, which I discovered a long time ago. We can keep learning. And unless it's coming as a part of me, this is what the companion did. This is what the companion did. But one sister asked me a question last week, not here, in a better place. And what she said? She said, how I prepare myself for situation. I said, please, are you sick? How we know what situation? When? We do not know. But if you're honest, Allah prepare you. Allah make it easy for you. According to what? The ikhlas of your belief inside. By this way, if you ask me today where we are, we have no ikhlas of belief. Why? We're so attached to our own habit. We're so attached to everything we have, even if we have nothing. Because don't forget, what I'm saying is so high, because this is now a level of wilayah. And level of the wilayah, believe it or not, is the last station in Islam. It's the last station. And we think we can reach wilayah just like some of the corrupted Sufi. May Allah forgive me. What the Zubayr said, he said, no. You do not have to do fara'id, you do not have to do anything. Go to Ihsan. And he said that, Ihsan need what? Need a lot of struggle before. Need Islam, need Iman, need struggle, need sacrifice. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. I'm not against any or big different Sufi. Some Sufi is really good. But some is so corrupted too. Which is not my business. But if you think you can jump, if you think that's it, no. Look at after Al-Wali, Al-Hamid. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويهدي إلى صراط العزيز الحميد إنه حميد مجيد. Al-Hamid, coming from Al-Hamid, the one always praised. Meaning he always should be what? Mahmoud. Always should be what? Praised. What it mean? I will tell you what it mean in really basic language. Any situation arise and you become rebellious, you're not in a state of hamd. Any time in a situation and you cannot handle it according to your emotion, you're already out of Iman and out of Hamd. Because you're supposed to surrender. And first, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And you deal with it with what? Contentment. And belief without no doubt is the best for you. Why? Allah ordained it this way. وَعَسَى تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَى تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Every condition, even the worst condition, Allah said, maybe the worst condition, the one you do not like, is the best for you. And best thing you love is bad for you. And Allah knows, and you do not know. Now, you see, we hear it. We read it. But when a situation arises, what are we going to do? It's tough. You know why it's tough? It's tough unless we have the reality of Iman. If we do not have the reality of Iman, you cannot handle it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatiha and mini Surah Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِكَ الْمَلَائِكَ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. Now in here in this book he said something so beautiful, so beautiful. He said, وَأَمَّا الْعَبْدِ, the slave, you can be hamid, you can be in a state of hamd. How? He said, if you surrender and submit your belief from doubt and uncertain. And tomorrow, and if, and he, and she, and it. This is not a believer. Is not a believer. Is no but, and if, and a future, and he, and she. No. Because you look to the wisdom of Allah and everything. Everything, once it happened, is qadr. Once it's qadr, it's done. Once it's done, Allah wants to see how I react. That's it. Can I think another way? No way. You will make a lot of mistakes. A lot of mistakes. And you're not going anywhere. And become head to head, arrogant to arrogant, shayateen to shayateen. Because Allah ordained already. Only when you arrive, He will be for you. And He said, وَأَعْمَالُ عَنِ الشَّهَوَاتِ. And your action should be away from your shahwa, your desire. And he said, according to how much you do, you are closer to Allah more. He didn't say, do. And he said, Al-Hamid, the one who gives you tawfiq of the door of goodness. And he thank you for it. And he praise you, because Allah praising us also, and thanking us, and rewarding us for things He give it to us. And He forgive your sins. And He cleanse you. And He switch your bad deed to good deed. Switch your bad habit to good habit. And He will not disgrace you of remembering it for you. And he said in here something so beautiful. He said the majority of people, they thank Allah over that worldly affair. You see? And he said the special people, they thank Him for the knowledge and being closer to Him. And the highest level, they thank Him of being Him. And they look to His bounty and His wisdom and His love. And this is why the early people and the companion used to see in every calamity is a wisdom. In every calamity is a benefit. And this is why they used to say we love calamity more than ease. Now, how many of you in a time of situation you do not like, you remember the basic Iman? And you remember the basic message? You remember the basic name of Allah? And you behave accordingly. What Allah wants. Not is your emotion, not your anger, not what you like, wonder what you do not like. Once you go to liking and disliking, and you finished. You already finished. Finished. And once you go to here, the brain, you're already done. You're already done. Because the first stage is to sleep, to surrender and submit to Allah. Once you go to the helicopter, you're done. You're finished. Shayateen take over. What happened to your quality is gone. What happened to your iman yaqeen is gone. What happened to rely on Allah is gone. What happened to Allah is wali is gone. What happened to Allah is wakil is gone. What happened to husband Allah wa ni'am al-wakil is gone. And let me tell you a bad news. I did not meet a Muslim can handle my toe. I do not meet a Muslim can handle to be reliant on Allah. It's almost like reliant on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today is something so bad. Something you cannot handle it. But if you give him money, he's happy. Because he relies on money. A status, he's happy. Whatever, any material, we believe in it. We become so happy. Tell him rely on Allah. You crazy? What are you talking about? I have to do. Go do. I do not say do not do. But this is the first stage. The overwhelming stage in your heart is according to that, all the physical action should come from the will of the relying on Allah. Allah al-Muhsi, Allah al-Muhsi, the one who calculate. And again, today we think, calculate only bad deed, or calculate only good deed. He already calculate everything. If he calculate everything, and he ordain everything, what's the problem? We cannot handle this talk. We cannot handle it. But we're willing again to stay in a college for 8 years, 10 years, with a degree, maybe. Maybe it will give me a future. But talk about Allah and rely on Allah, are you crazy? You want me to sit doing nothing? I didn't say that. I say this state should be in your heart. This should be your credit. So when a situation arises, you take from your credit, the credit of your iman, the communication with Allah. By the way, as you said, Al-Muhsi, he calculates everything. Imagine one angel is reported only his job to calculate the drop of rain and drop of water on the whole earth. One angel. Show me a computer can do that for a lake. How powerful this angel with how much backup memory he has. How big is his website? Do we respect Allah? وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهِ حَقَّ قَدْرٍ. Allah said it in the Quran many times. You have no respect to Allah the way He should be respected. Who's not respecting Allah today? Muslim or non-Muslim? Muslim is not respecting Allah. If you have the Quran in your hand, you have the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not respecting Allah, what else left? And you want the non-Muslim to respect you? Believe me, you are out of whack. Because all our dignity is related according to how we dignify Allah. If you find out Allah does not give you dignity, something wrong with you. Or He tried you. He checked you out. The moment you belong to Allah, Allah promised dignity belongs to Allah. وَرَسُولُهُ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It's not me, it's not my shaykh, this Quran. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ جَمِيعًا. All dignity belongs to Allah. Can you get it from supermarket? Can you get it from degree or money or bank account? Nobody can give it to you except Allah. Only one. Only one. Allah said, أَحْصَاهُ اللَّهُ وَنَسُوهُ. Allah, He calculated and we forget it. Allah said, مَا لَهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرًا وَلَا كَبِيرًا إِلَّا أَحْصَاهُ. In the day of judgment, you look to your book and you find out, oh, I didn't do that. Because you forget. And I said, no, no. You forget, we do not forget. Now, if I know Allah is writing everything and everything is watching everything, what I should do? How many of us worry about the way we talk? You remember? When I get to know your people, the first stage, I said, worry about the way you talk. Your voice, record your voice. What happened to the recorder? You want to know who you are? Record again. Don't record for other, record yourself. See your voice. How you talk, to whom you talk. In what tone of voice you talk, you know who you are. You know why? Because Iman full of Sakina. Iman full of tranquility. Once you believe in Allah, once the situation rises, you behave accordingly. You will never rush. Whatever happened, it gives you pause. It gives you this, you know, you're afraid to do anything. You go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every situation. Where is that? Tell me where. One of the tabi'in, somebody asked him, how is your days? And how you do the arrow shooting? He said, my shooting is good. But he said, look to how you shoot yourself in your own days. Look how you shoot yourself in your own days. He said, my shoot is good. But look how you shoot yourself in your own days. The one that will not come back. Look at this being, how he related everything to Iman. And today somebody asks you today any stupid wrongly question. Terabit, and you will forget yourself completely. And you're willing for go to 2-3 hours. And you will not even mention Allah once. And you're willing. For a cake, you're willing to do it. For a recipe, you're willing to do it. For a piece of cloth, you're willing to do it. A lot of effort, a lot of hours. And you're willing to deserve all your message for one piece of cake. Amen. And he said, Al-Muhsi, the early Mashayikh said, the one with the seen, he know it. And with the unseen, he calculated. With the seen, he watched it. When the unseen, he calculated for you. By this way, he said in the end, if you know Allah is calculating and watching everything, how you behave. Sure. Please keep reading, inshallah. Okay, don't stop. And make it oath between you and Allah. To your reading to be more, not less. I promise you, you will grow so beautiful. And ask Allah to accept you, inshallah. As what? Huh? As what? Huh? Abd is number one, as a worker for him. Go and lead. Allah iftah alayk. Alaykum as-salamu alaykum. المبدئ المعيد. What is that?
Stop.
ما شاء الله. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. اللهم أجرني في مصيبتي واخلف لي خيرا منها. اللهم لا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا واجعل الآخرة هي دارنا والنظر إلى وجهك الكريم هو أملنا وأنت راض عنا وتقبل منا يا رب العالمين. What I said, oh Allah, don't make our مصيبة in our deen, and don't make dunya is the most important part in our life, and make akhirah is the most pleasure to us, and make meeting us to you is the most pleasure moment in our life. With your pleasure, ya Allah. This is how the early people used to think. How many of us return everything to Akhirah quick? Is this not the fiqh? Imam Samarqandi, he asked him, what is the faqih? The most faqih. He said, the faqih, the one he divorced dunya and prepare for Akhirah. He is the faqih. And he used to say, not every faqih is a alim, and not every alim is a faqih, and not every alim is a arif, and not every arif is a alim. Today I see it. I see simple people, very simple. And they have unbelievable iman. May Allah save this ummah. Really.
What is Arif?
Arif meaning the one who knows. Not every scholar, he know Allah. And not everyone who knows Allah is a scholar. And I'm quoting you Imam Samarqandi. He died 300, almost 75 Hijri. Meaning exactly close to 1100 years ago. These people, when they talk, take their word. Take their word. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. You know what the companion used to do? When a situation arises like that, Jesus said, it is my guilt. Is my negligence. Do you think every situation in earth attacking Islam is not my duty? Is not my negligence? But can we think today to attack this problem just by internet or by the news media? What the news media will do when we are a liar and we have no unity? We have no anything. How do you know it? And even sometimes they make a joke over us, they give you 4 or 5 speakers, and everybody will attack the another one in different opinion. And they know it too. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. المبدئ المعيد. الله المبدئ المعيد. What المبدئ? The one who start. المعيد. The one who repeat it again. What do you call it in English?
The restorer, the reproducer.
The restorer, the reproducer. And the only one who can do that is Allah. That's why people who was talking about bad habit and all this, who can restore your bad habit? Who can reproduce good habit? Only Allah. Allahu, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar from me. Allahu Akbar from my habit. Allahu Akbar from everything. But when? When Allahu Akbar. By this way, if you do not see a major change in your habit, what it means? Go back to what? Eh? To Iman. Meaning the Iman is so weak. Because once the Iman is strong, Allah promised He will restore everything. He will reproduce everything. And this is what happened to the companion. They changed. But we do not want surrender. We do not want submit. We so arrogant, honest to Allah. We so arrogant. We do not want humble ourselves to Allah. Imagine when we know for a fact when a situation arises against you and you be quiet is the ultimate power. We know the story of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. When somebody came, argue with him, call him names, and Rasulullah is smiling. Do we forget the story? I never forget it. I keep digging until I find what's going on. Rasulullah is smiling. And when Abu Bakr Siddiq answers a man with the truth, Rasulullah get his face get red, get angry, and he left. Abu Bakr ran after him. He said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you watching him do all this against me, and you smiling? And when I talk, and just talk to prevent or get my right, you get anger? Listen to this carefully, and this is a message. When you are quiet, Allah send an angel in your behalf to get your rights. And the moment you talk, shaitan against shaitan, I do not sit with shayateen. When I study this, I keep digging, digging, and I find this hadith has a fiqh. You know what the fiqh of this hadith? They said, the ultimate power, the ultimate support from Allah when somebody call your name and be quiet. And deep inside he said, Hasbi Allah. Not even say it. Deep inside he said, Allah, you are mawali. But we cannot handle it. We cannot handle Allah to be my wali. We cannot take it. We have to complain. Okay? You do not want Allah power? Go ahead. Shaitan with shaitan. Who said that? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even if you 100% right, let me tell you how dumb we are and how blind we are. Because the moment you talk to somebody in a state like that, you're talking to whom? Shaitan! Can you let shaitan listen? Go. Be my guest. No, not my guest. Be shaitan guest. I saw it in my life. Every situation you be quiet, Allah give you power. Unbelievable power. Allah give you dignity. Allah give you support. But you have to be patient. Why you can be patient? Only when you believe in Allah. You do not want to believe in Allah? You do not want to trust in Allah? You believe in your helicopter? Go. Shaitan with shaitan. Have fun. And you always will be a loser. Who will make you lose? Allah. Because now shaitan with shaitan. You will never be a winner. Can I turn it back? Sure. Go back and mubdi and mu'id. Humble yourself. Ask the people to forgive you. Make tawbah to Allah. Make istighfar. Promise Allah to only talk to Him. And be quiet. And close your mouth. You will be a winner. Any another way? No. And apply it to every situation. Because today, 99.9.9.9 of the majority of people is not ready for anything. It's bunch of shayateen. Be quiet. Allah will give you basirah. He will show you. But only when you be quiet. If your nafs take over, and shaitan take over, helicopter take over, I call it the embarrassed building of the arrogant take over, that's it. You're not going anywhere. And now the mercy of Allah, the tawfiq of Allah, the victory of Allah will be snatched from you. It's snatched. And the disgrace of Allah will come to you. And don't blame except whom?
Yourself.
Huh?
Yourself.
Loud.
Yourself.
That's it. Who's a criminal? Huh?
Us.
You. Don't say us. You. Every time I open my mouth in a situation, I'm the guilty one. And any time I quiet, people call you coward. People call you any name. Alhamdulillah. Be quiet. The more you get names, the more you get victory. But only be quiet. Quiet. But don't quiet and boiling. No, 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 no. This is not quiet. Rasulullah was smiling. But we said, he's Rasulullah. He know, he see. But he reported to us. By this way, we should know. What it mean? Once I know that, if I believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wallahi I know it. When a situation arise, I said, Allah, give me tawfiq, I want the ultimate victory. What it mean? And I smile. Call me a coward, call me a blood, whatever. Call me a black-blooded, cold-blooded, whatever. You're not a man. You're a garbage man. You are this. You are that. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. After that, cry to Allah, thank Allah, said Allah, you bear witness what's going on. Can I call you after that and tell you, you know what happened? It's finished. Power is gone. Now I have a drainer. Leakage to the ground, to the garbage can. The main power is what? You want complain, complain to whom?
No.
You want talk, talk to whom?
No.
You want cry, cry to whom?
No.
Nobody should know. Nobody should know. Now you want the highest? You want to be on the muqarrabin? Go to the person, ask him to forgive you. And make dua for them. You like it or you don't? This is what Rasulullah told to whom? Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said, if you want to reach and be above the early people and sabiqeen and muqarrabin, forgive those who oppress you. Today it happened to me exactly like what happened to my father, rahmatullah. Today, even if you like to forgive people, people will not allow you. Imagine, you go to the person and say, please forgive me. He said, no. Okay, please take it. You are a liar. You just said it with your tongue. You see? Look at this. Every time I used to say to some people, please forgive me, you are a liar. You do not mean it. Please forgive me. You are a liar. I just said that. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. You know what I do after that? I take a corner. I said, Allah, bear witness, I did it. I did Allah in the front of you, in the day of judgment, I will tell you, I did it. I did it for you, Ya Allah. And wallahi, I swear by Allah, in certain occasions, I used to say to the person, what do you want? You want me to kiss your feet? I kiss your feet. You want me to kiss your shoes? I kiss your shoes. What do you want? I will do for you. That you are alive. Alhamdulillah, Ya Rabbil Alameen. I'm willing.
Would you have?
What's that?
Would you have?
Sure! For Sabilillah, to get this reward, to get this elevation, I will do anything. Are you crazy? Because at this moment, Allah promised also, I will come in the day of judgment and enter Jannah without no reckoning. Okay. No questioning. You're crazy? You do not want it? Are your file so clean? We are so dumb. You know this, what do you call it? The things you put it to the baby in the time of eating.
Bibs.
Bibs. You know, all of us should have bibs and said, dumb, mute, and stupid. Please need support. Make dua for me. Subhanallah, really. Imagine Allah shower you with all this gift and you do not want to take it. Tell me what action. Ya Allah, قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Say, He is the one who elevated and gave it life. The one who created the first time. Can you hold down? Sit down once and for all. You're going back and forth like a youth. Something wrong with the food. We cannot be calm. This ummah cannot be calm. We need tranquilizer. What's the tranquilizer of me? Huh? Zikr. How many minutes now? I think it's flashing. 4 minutes, right? You see?
I have more tips.
What happens if we have no zikr? Empty. Raiba. What is raiba? Raiba is like a very high state of doubtful. You're not stable. I do this or I do not do this. The majority of us, what? Raiba. But Islam and Iman is tumanina, tranquility. And whatever happened, what? For the best of me. People stop the course in the back. Cannot. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You cannot be even 2 minutes quiet. Is he running for the White House? What do you want to say? They cannot only lead Salah, they won't be a president. The first president of the United States Muslim world. Allah. You remember the president what her name, Pakistan? I like her hijab. You remember her hijab? When she starts talking, she has this tiny, what do you call it? Whatever. After one sentence, she's gone. And you have big sheikh and big mufti and everything around him. Allahu Akbar. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a big joke. And we worry about a woman leading Salah downtown. In a non-Muslim country. Allahu Akbar, Ya Rabbi. And we ruled by a woman for many, many years. And we like her and we elect her again. And Islam is a Jama'iyya. I used to look to all this beard in your country and said, what's going on? Hi. لا حول ولا قوة إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. Now the name we're going to stop at now, المحيي المميت. المحيي, to make it easy for you, is the one who gives life. And the real life is what? With zikr of Allah, with the bond of Allah. And the real death of what? To go to Jahannam, to lose yourself. Now tell me, what situation can lead me to Jahannam and I like it? You see, whatever situation, return it to Allah, you will be a winner. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un is enough for you. Okay, what happened if I have a genetic problem and I'm so arrogant? What I do?
Beg Allah to change, beg Allah to change it.
Beg Allah. He's Mubdi' al-Mu'id. The one restorer, the one what? The reproducer. The reproducer. Meaning he can reproduce your genetic problem and give you a different genetic. You do not have to go to the lab. Okay? You do not have to take any chemist. You do not have to get any byproduct. Okay? You do not have to go to Rite Aid. You do not have to call 911. You have to call the only one. Al-Mubdi' al-Mu'id. The one restore, the one reproduce. What happened if it didn't happen? Something wrong with my calling. Or the soil is so rocky, is not soft. What it mean? Arrogant. Can I go to Allah and ask Him with arrogant? No way. The more you humble yourself, the more elevation. Okay, no any cure. It's not working. Meaning, I have arrogant juice. I have high concentrated arrogant. The moment you erase that and put it in the garbage, and you get a nice water of humble, Allah will open for you. I promise you. Opening always with humble and humility. No another cure.